This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
127, it's Barcelona 1 and the Yankees 1, and we'll keep you updated on that. Man, you just scored. You can follow Nation Radio on Twitter at It's Nation Radio, and also Nation Radio at theteam1260.com. That is our email address, and we invite your questions and comments all the time, and of course, we read back as many as we possibly can. Joined now by Speeds from Hockey Symposium, Michael Spadel. Michael, how are you?
Very good. Nice to talk to you all.
Nice to talk to you as well. One of the things that I always look forward to is your draft list every year. When do you start making up your list? When do you start thinking about publishing your results? And how much time do you devote to it?
Well, I'd say I've kind of loosely been putting it together throughout the course of the season. I've got, you know, some sort of outline of where I'm going to go. The first list that I publish will probably come out Wednesday or Thursday next week just to start June, and then I'll do a final list by the time maybe a day or two before the draft.
Okay. We talked to Mary DeHamel just a minute ago about Sean Couturier. Why do you think he's fallen so much? Is it mono, skating, or a combination of all those things?
I think it's a combination of all the things. I think one of the things might be that he's not, or he had supposedly not said that he's not doing interviews with the media. And I think for teams that if you're planning to make these players a focal point of your franchise, and you've got all these other guys that look about equally as well, talented, then why take the guy that you're kind of concerned might have trouble with the market like Edmonton?
Yeah, and that's a good point because you've got, obviously, the kid like Taylor Hall who comes in and instantly becomes the face of the franchise. It's going to be a lot of pressure on him. He's from Phoenix, though. That shouldn't be a difficulty. Is it just that he's the very shy, retiring, say, Jay Bouwmeester type?
It could be. I think the other part of it is, the coach was saying earlier that he's just very subtly boring, maybe would be a good way to put it, where he's not so flashy. And I think the scouts like to see these dynamic skills because they think maybe it translates better. And maybe it does, but sometimes I kind of wonder if it does or if it's just you want to see those dynamic skills.
Do you have or will you have Couturier at or near number one on your list?
I would say that I tentatively have him at one, yes.
Yeah. I think he is likely to be either the best player in this draft or close to. What's your feeling on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
Well, I'm a huge sucker for hockey sense, so he's right up there for me too. It's tough to ignore when so many scouts say that he's just so elite in that area.
Yeah, and what is your feeling on the power play to even strength points ratio? How do you feel about that?
I'd prefer if he had more even strength points. I don't know. The scouts really seem to be so sold on his hockey sense that you kind of wonder if it's just that they think he'll be so much better once he starts to play with better players that they're kind of factoring that along with him gaining size, and that's what puts him at number one for them.
Yeah, the thing that really started me thinking about it is actually the last time Craig Button was on, we discussed Nugent-Hopkins, and he was very bullish on him to the point where I had asked him about time on ice at even strength, about power plays and all of that sort of thing. And his issue was, look, the guy is just flat-out talented, and I don't care about the ice time. I don't care about all those other things. When you see this kind of vision, you have to go for it. And I think it might be a rare example of a Sam good. The overwhelming evidence is so good. And his statistics aren't that far off. In terms of even strength, he's about equal to where Sam Gagne was as a junior. So do you see the Oilers possibly taking him? And if they do, keeping him in junior for another year?
I definitely think they're going to take him because if it was, and this is just if I was running the draft, I would not want to let the impression be going out there that that's the guy you're going to take if you don't take him, because he's the hometown guy, he plays down the road in Red Deer, fans are kind of building up this affinity for him, and then if you go off the board and take Huberdeau or Couturier, well, there's a bit of a backlash where if Nugent-Hopkins doesn't work out down the road, you're going to be second-guessed an awful lot more than if you take Nugent-Hopkins and Couturier turns out.
Great point. Now, at the top of the draft, do you have Adam Larson there as well, or are there some other forwards who've snuck in before him?
I would say my top five right now consists of some order of Couturier and Nugent-Hopkins, Huberdeau, Strome, and Larson.
Okay. So let's talk about them individually. We've already talked about Couturier and Nugent-Hopkins. Let's talk about Larson next. Big defender, maybe not the offensive upside. That's why I kind of nicked him as well. I've got him at number four, just because if you're going to draft that high, you really want to get the elite player if you can.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with that. He'd probably be at fifth on my list right now, and it's not really a knock on him, but it's just if you have a chance to grab a top two-line center versus a top pairing, well, I guess if he becomes a number one defenseman, you're happy to have him, but the forwards are just so much harder to get that if it's even close, I think you have to go with the forwards.
Right. And let's talk about Huberdeau. I've seen him a little bit, and then I've been watching him at the Memorial Cup. He really is a sick skill player.
Yeah. Him and Strome actually look kind of similar to me, except for Huberdeau is on a bit better of a team. Well, a lot better of a team.
What about size for Strome, though? He's 6 foot, but he's not exactly as skinny as Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, but I think a little bit about durability when talking about Strome.
Yeah, that's what I find so interesting about Strome consistently being lower in the rankings than Nugent-Hopkins is they seem to talk over, on and on about how Strome is kind of weak for his size, and I don't know if that means that he's not very muscular for his size or what they're thinking, but they definitely seem to knock him for it more than Nugent-Hopkins.
Yeah, it is interesting, and I find that I don't really have an answer. Strome is about 15 pounds heavier from what I can tell, and it would seem as though he might just be that much more advanced physically. I guess we'll have to find out. What about the other defensemen? I've started thinking that there's a possibility the Oilers will trade up from 19 to grab a defenseman, and the players most often mentioned are Ryan Murphy and Doogie Hamilton, although there are some others like Joe Morrow that are in there, Nathan Bolo. Who do you see as being a possible trade up for defenseman value-wise, and do you see the Oilers doing that and picking a defenseman?
Well, I think that they may well do that, and if they do it, I think they will move up for a defenseman, but I don't know if they'll get either Hamilton or Murphy because I think they kind of fall on that consensus top eight, and I just don't know if they'll be able to get up that high.
Who among the top 30 or so are you thinking is going to be much higher on your list than the list that we've seen in the last little while?
I would say probably Grimaldi. He's a guy that I really like. He's very small, so I don't know if a lot of teams will like him. And I generally tend to favor those guys a bit more than most people do. I also really like that. I'm not quite sure how to say his name. That Kolklakchev from Windsor. There, he's so young. He's got very good numbers, and coming over from Russia, it's just such an adjustment for that guy. First year in the OHL, first year on the small ice. He's so young for the league that I kind of wonder if he might just explode in the next year or two.
All right. Well, while we're on the subject of players whose names I can't pronounce, let's talk about Mika Zibanejad. What's your opinion of him? He seems to be making a late move up the charts.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that the scouts are looking at the skills and just projecting that. And so there's just very little for me to comment on other than that he seems to be a guy that seems to go in the top 10, 15 on pretty much everyone's list now, so there's got to be something there.
Yeah. Last year you had the top of the draft spot on, Hall, Sagan, Granlund, Tarasenko. I noticed that you and I pretty much agreed that we were going to nick the defenseman, and by that I mean obviously Fowler fell farther than we thought, but Gudbranson also in there, Gormley, we nicked them a little bit and they went higher than we projected. Do you think that the NHL is slowly but surely learning that those non-offensive or stay-at-home defensemen being picked that high, the Keaton Ellerbys, all of those guys, that it doesn't give you value?
I think they're kind of trying. Some teams are learning that, but some aren't, and I don't know if Florida made a mistake necessarily grabbing Gudbranson, but he's the kind of guy that, for whatever reason, teams just seem to love, these character guys. Actually, I think if I was doing a mock draft, it'd be pretty tough to put Landeskog going past Florida because he's basically a better forward version of Gudbranson.
Right. The one defenseman that I'm noticing that there's a wide degree of difficulty as far as slotting him is Duncan Siemens, the big kid out of Saskatoon. How do you see him?
I see him as a mid to late first round defenseman.
Okay, so you're thinking 15 to 30 or so?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
What about goaltenders? Anybody that that you see who possibly could slide into the first round?
It's tough to say who could slide into the first round, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if the Oilers grab someone at 31 or 61.
Right. I can agree with that, too. I think that there's a possibility just based on at some point in time in the next few years, I think they'll take the next goaltender. They got a couple of depth picks that may turn out, but it's always a good idea to stock as many as you can. What about this kid, Sven Barchi? We saw him play for Portland, and he scored a lot. He looks really good, not terribly fast, but really sick stick handler and a good scorer.
Yeah, he's in my top 10 right now, and I think he looks like a really good bet going forward.
And Mark McNeil, the big center from PA, what's your opinion on him?
Yeah, I really like him too, but I don't think I like him quite as much as Bob Stauffer. He's a guy that looks like he's got a lot of potential, and I would have a tough time deciding between him and Shifley if I was someone picking around that 13-15 area.
Yeah, I think they're both going to go, and the only problem with picking them as high as like 10-13, there's going to be some skill like Armia and Zach Phillips on there. Don't you want to exhaust all the guys who could end up being Jeff Skinner, before you go into the guys with the two-way potential, but you know aren't necessarily going to be a number one center?
Yeah, I think you might see guys like Pumpel go a little bit earlier than he's projected just for that reason.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, where can we read you, Mike?
I'm at hockeysymposium.blogspot.com.
Really appreciate this, and hopefully we'll have you back before the draft. I'd love to hear your top 30 and maybe go through it.
Sounds great.
All right. Mike Spidell from Hockey Symposium Speeds, well-known on all of the oil blogs over the years, and, of course, originally from HF Boards. That's where we all kind of got together. And, if you haven't followed his version of the draft over the years, you can go to Hockey Symposium. He does a really good job of breaking down each year's draft. And last year, he did a splendid job. And I think, really, as time goes on, his list is going to look a lot stronger than most people's, just because he did nick those stay-at-home defensemen a little bit more and value-wise, as time goes on, it's really hard for those folks to cover off and beat like a Cam Fowler, who came in and played very well and delivered some offense as well. This is Nation Radio. We're available on Twitter at It's Nation Radio, also at Nation Radio at theteam1260.com. We invite your emails and we'll read them back as we have an opportunity. One that came to us last week with regard to Milan Lucic. We talked a little bit about Lucic with Kirk Ludicky, and people were saying that he could be a late second rounder. Anything about Kyle Beach's situation would be interested to know. This came from Ross. I did check it out, and I think Kyle Beach is rumored to be signing in Europe for next year. So that's an interesting item and something that maybe the Oilers can look at down the line. Of course, they lost Liam Reddick this year, same way. Spent a couple of years over in Europe and sometimes come back to the National Hockey League. So we still have one more guest on Nation Radio, and that's Ian Walker. We'll talk to Ian Walker from the Vancouver Sun right after this.